Good evening, and welcome to Edge Animal Talk. My name is Mary Stoffel. I'm a professional animal communicator and shamanic practitioner, and I've been doing this program for animals and animal issues for well over a year now. And in that time, I've had many different guests, and we've discussed many different topics. And tonight, we have a really special topic. This is something that I've been wanting to explore for quite a while, and it's called Healing Touch for Animals. And I have two guests with me this evening. I have Elaine Garley and Carol Kramer-Schmortz with me. And both of them are here to fill us in on what this all is. So welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Okay. Elaine is the owner of Animal Bridges. She brings out the best in your pet by calming fears, soothing pain, building confidence, and hearing what the animal says. Elaine loves uses loving and healing techniques as an animal communicator, Healing Touch for Animal certified practitioner, and Tellington T-Touch training certified practitioner. And my understanding, Elaine, is that you left the corporate world about 6 years ago to start your own business in doing this. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, the corporate world gave me a push, and I gladly accepted it. And
I can totally relate to that, because the same thing happened to me. And Carol, you do primarily canine body work, and you've also trained in canine sports medicine. You do Healing Touch for Animals. You're a certified practitioner and also a T-Touch practitioner. You use essential oils, like I do, and I know that you do animal communication as well. I did not understand, or I did not realize, that you also do shamanic practice, however. So I'm very glad to hear about that.
Yes, that's correct. As a corporate job, in fact, I'm sitting here in my corporate office. I do this on a part-time basis, and just like I am a quality engineer for 3M Consumer Healthcare, I basically use a lot of tools in my toolbox to work with both the animal and the person to make sure that we have an overall healthy animal. So, yes, I have a lot of tools in my toolbox, just like you do, just like Elaine does.
Uh-huh. And from what I understand in talking to you beforehand, Carol, you specialize in performance animals, particularly dogs, whereas Elaine, you tend to do more of the companion animals in the home. Is that correct? And
that's
can you
correct.
Elaborate on that?
Yes, I have worked with rabbits. I've worked with umbrella cockatoos. I've all sorts of animals that are primarily in the home. I also have done a little work with horses, and I basically want the people and the animals to be as happy as they can be and live their best lives. So I do anything from aging animals to mobility issues, behavior issues, just the whole span. From cradle to grave, I work with the animals.
Oh, that's awesome. And Carol, can you describe a little bit more about what you do with the performance dogs?
Thank you, Mary. And I actually do is actually similar to what Elaine does, but more on the performance side. And what I mean by performance side is specifically I do dog agility, which is obstacle mm-hmm. courses for dogs. And most of my work has to do with major regional, national, and international competitions for agility. In fact, I just came back from Europe where I was supporting the Canadian national team in competing at the European Open Championships. So basically, it's really fascinating to compete at that particular level and support them. Just like Michael Phelps has massage therapists that work on the swimmers at the Olympic level, it's the same thing for companion sports, because the dogs are running, some of them are running 7 meters a second, and they're really treated like Olympic athletes, just like the handlers are. So I would say like 95% of my work is at that particular level, where I work on both the dogs and the humans. I have done a little bit of work on performance horses, whether it be for dressage or hunter jumpers or other performance sports that they might be in, including therapeutic horses for therapeutic riding. But along with that, just like what Elaine has done in terms of either like working with a client that is looking for a performance dog and assessing them from a overall health point of view and looking at the litter, all the way to when those performance dogs are crossing over, they're crossing over to the Rainbow Bid at the end of their life. I've also supported a lot of international champions, including my own dogs in my household, and helping them through that transition process, you know, as they pass away. So it's a service to my, you know, to my clients as well. But I'd say primarily it's more about, you know, performance issues or behavioral issues, really having to do with competition dogs and a little bit with the horses as well.
Mm-hmm. Whereas now, Elaine, you tend to work with other types of animals too. For example, do you work with birds? Do you work with, you know, anything like rabbits or anything like that?
Yes, actually, and later I can tell some stories about a wonderful rabbit that was not ready for adoption. And also I've worked with a few birds, primarily dogs and also cats. But I have worked with all sorts of guinea pigs, any critter.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Now, so we want to really get into this topic of healing touch for animals. And I have been fascinated by this because I really don't know much about it. So can you fill me in on what exactly is healing touch for animals and what makes it unique?
I can give the general definition that we've been trained with healing touch for animals. Is that it's an energy field therapy, meaning it's energy work, like Reiki and other energy work out there that supports the body to self-heal. And the techniques in healing touch, or HTA as we may call it, helps balance and clear the body's energy system. And this allows for optimum physiological responses to stabilize and support the body, providing us a sense of well-being, and we use a clear intention for each of the applications, each of the techniques or processes we use. We always go, the overall intent is that we are going for the highest good for the animal, and of course we have no control over what that is, and then when we work on the individual techniques, then we set our intention for each of those techniques, too. Did I cover it, Carol?
Yeah, Elaine, you did a nice job of that. And a little bit more specifically, there's a lot of different modalities out there that really have their basis in energy medicine, whether it be, Mary, you know, you mentioned shamanic practice, which is a lot of that is we're tapping into, you know, the energetic field through, you know, through using shamans. Another energetic practice is really acupuncture. You know, acupuncturists are working with the meridians in the body, which is all part of, you know, energy medicine. Healing Touch for Animals was founded by Carol Commodore, who is a vet tech in, a former vet tech who is in Colorado, but she's also Healing Touch for Humans practitioner, who learned from the founder of Healing Touch for Humans, Janet Mentgen. And Janet was actually a holistic health nurse in Colorado who founded and studied a number of different healing techniques and developed, you know, Healing Touch for Humans. So when Carol, being a vet tech, said, well, if we're helping humans in this way, why can't I, you know, I can also take those human techniques and adapt that to, you know, Healing Touch for Animals. So that's how she founded Healing Touch for Animals. But again, we're borrowing techniques that are coming from the human side of things. Mm-hmm. And really what makes, we're not really different than a lot of, let's say, the healing arts or the energy medicine. What we're doing is really, we're really, like, I'm also Reiki, I'm not a Reiki master, but I have taken two levels of Reiki. And mm-hmm. Reiki is a very good foundation for the foundation basis, if you would. It's more of, you want to say, the ancient technique that has been passed down. And what Janet Mencken or others have done is say, okay, take the basis of Reiki, which is working with the seven chakras in the body, and what has been done is to give certain protocols that can be standardized protocols that can be used for certain things that are happening within the animal, whether it be, you know, the chakras are need to be balanced, or behavioral issues, or, you know, bringing an animal from a rescue situation. These different protocols that have been developed using, you know, the basis of working with the chakras, or using essential oils to assist in that, or tuning forks, etc. It's really building upon the basic techniques that have been around for hundreds or thousands of years.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, this works more on an energetic level rather than just a physical level.
It starts at the energetic level, correct, because when you have the energetic level at the, bodies are all electrical, mechanical, chemical beings is really what we are. So when you start to go into the energy, and this is where my engineering background is coming in, I'm actually an industrial engineer statistician by training, and going back to the physics of things, that all energy is neither created nor destroyed. So we're really starting to look at an energetic level, and when there's imbalance in the energy in a body, whether it be a human or an animal, that energetic imbalance can create what we would call a series of dis-ease or disease.
Right.
So much of that, when there is the energetic imbalance, let's say a charge that's concentrated or is absent for a body, that's where disease starts. So we're really looking at it starting with bringing the body into balance so that we can basically start with relaxing the body so that blood can start flowing and oxygen starts flowing to bring the body into balance.
Got
so
it.
That's really where we're starting from.
So, and it ties in as well. This actually works in conjunction with many other modalities. For example, and if I have this correctly, if you take shamanic work also works with balance and harmony, but then you're looking at the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual aspects of a being, whether it's a person or an animal, and
right.
bringing all of those into balance. So it actually does relate to a lot of these other modalities.
Yeah, it really does, and that's one of the things that's really emphasized in Healing Touch for Animals, is that to work within the overall community. This is not a siloed, only do healing touch. It is very much emphasized in our training and also going through certification that we work with other healthcare professionals and network with them. Basically, it's like you have a board of directors for your human or a board of directors for your animal. And what Healing Touch for Animals really looks at is more the energetic plane, but the ripple effect does go through the, you know, the spiritual, mental, emotional part of the being.
And I'll just jump in here a minute to, for example, if you're working with somebody who is a vet who is very Western medicine-minded, one of the things we tell them is that the physiological response of the energy healing is, as Carol was saying, and I'll add in a few more steps, it relaxes the body, which then causes endorphins to be released, which relax the muscles, giving more space for increased circulation. It elevates the oxygen, which then the body absorbs more nutrition and can build enzymes, which then help regulate the hormones, which release toxins, which cause healthy cell growth, and then promote healing. And
so you can put it in language that they understand as well.
Right. And that's something that's very important to Carol Commodore, who developed this, because she really wants it to get into the medical, the veterinary world.
Oh, I totally agree. I think it does need to be there. Absolutely. So you've mentioned several times that you have protocols or techniques, or so these are things that you're trained in, that you use certain techniques for certain conditions. Is that correct?
Yes. When we start out, we first learn about the energy system and learn how to feel energy and start building a vocabulary of how we can describe it to our clients. And we start out with very powerful techniques that are, I would say, simple, but very powerful. And those techniques that you learn in the first or second levels, I use those so much. For example, my dog, Hob, slipped yesterday and hurt his leg. I think it's his knee. And so I immediately went to some of the first aid techniques I'll do, where it's like break. If you think of ultrasound, like we use ultrasound in the medical world to break up inflammation. So I was using that, and another technique, which is called laser, which is more pinpoint. So I immediately went into those, and that's something that a beginner, somebody just taken the very first level, will learn these techniques. And we have four levels of training, and at any time, you know, you can stop or continue. And then Carol and I both took the challenge on after the level four course to get certified, which resulted in case studies and over 50 treatments to various types of animals, being sure that we used every single technique. Book reviews is very intensive certification process. And we both got certified for that. And then we both went on just this spring to do some advanced protocol training, which goes as far as helping animals and people with PSTD, post-stress syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And so different very high-level techniques that can help either people or the animals.
Okay. So, Carol, you were talking about that this actually came from the Healing Touch for People. How long has the Healing Touch for People been used and actually become more well-known?
I believe it's been 25 years that Healing Touch for People was developed by Janet Mencken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty close. I mean, I'm probably not spot on, but I know it's definitely over 20 years.
Okay.
And as part of that, as part of our certification, one of the requirements that we had to do as Healing Touch for Animals practitioner is actually take at least the level one human touch or Healing Touch for Humans class, so that we could receive, you know, what that felt like, what the animals are going through.
Mm-hmm.
So we received the gift of that, and you can see the crossover between how the protocols deal with the humans versus what we would do with the animals. So in receiving it, and so we're really understanding what is happening within the particular body with the different techniques, and then it is your choice as an HTA practitioner if you want to continue, you know, in that particular certification as well. I've actually taken up through level three in Healing Touch for Humans because of the benefits that I see and the different experiences that I've seen in Healing Touch for Humans as well. It's really pretty fascinating as to all the different studies and very well done studies of what's happening in terms of Healing Touch for Humans. But of course, you know, Healing Touch for Humans, Healing Touch for Animals relate to each other. And then Healing Touch for Animals has been around, is it 10 years or 12 years, Elaine?
I think it's going close to 15. It's someplace in between 10 and 15 years.
Okay.
So this is not just something that just started. It's been around for a while, and it's been tested, and it has a track record associated with it.
Exactly, yes. Especially in the healing touch for humans area, where I know there was a really great study that was done probably 5 years ago now, at St. Joe's Hospital here in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very well written, and it is in the literature about what healing touch does in terms of pain reduction for humans in the ICU.
Oh,
so
wow.
What we can do is basically say, if this is what's happening in the union and it was in the humans, this also then transmits, you know, over to animals. So it is in the literature. It isn't something where it just popped up somewhere. This is being, humans is being taught to nurses, and nurses are incorporating that. If the patient so desires, in terms of like with Regents Hospital, Augustana Hospital here, Woodwinds uses healing touch. There's a number of hospitals that have volunteers on staff because they recognize the benefits that healing touch does for humans. And then from that, we can say, if this is what's happening and the benefits for humans, we can also see it, you know, in the animals as well.
So if you are a person and you're going into having something done, you can inquire at that particular hospital for healing touch, and if they don't have it, say, why not?
Well, right, they could, and a lot of the hospitals here do have volunteers that come in and do some sort of healing touch or therapeutic touch. There's different names for it, but it's
mm-hmm.
really all gets back to, it's an energy form of hands on healing. And I'm going to make sure that we're talking about healing. You know, we are not veterinarians. We are not practicing veterinary medicine. This is complementary to what the veterinarians are doing when we're dealing
That's
with
really
animals.
And
it's very,
That's
very much emphasized that we are not curing. We are
mm-hmm.
simply complementing what is happening, and it's very strongly emphasized, actually demanded, if you would, in our certification, that we are not diagnosing. We are simply assessing what is happening with the animal. And it's very important for us to make sure that if there is situations that are happening with the animal, that one of the first things we need to do is, have you seen a veterinarian, and working with them in that.
Yeah,
so that's a really key thing we have to talk about.
Yeah, I'm very glad you brought that up, because that does come up in a lot of the healing modalities, and especially the energy modalities, that this works in conjunction with veterinary care. That I run into the same thing with my shamanic work, with my animal communication stuff, that I'm not a vet, I have no vet training, I don't do diagnostic, you know, journeys or that kind of thing. I work with the veterinarians, and I actually have several that I work on a regular basis with. So, that's a very important point to bring up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you've talked about the training that is required on this, and you've kind of touched on that. Carol, I understand that you had some interesting experiences when you were doing your training. If you'd like to share those with us as well.
Well, yeah, I can share it, and I know Elaine can share with us, two of her experiences. Part of what we have to do in healing touch is 3 or 5 different species other than a dog, cat, or horse?
Three.
So I ended up working with a turtle, and this is interesting because a friend of mine that I met through Dog Agility actually lives in another state, and she has like a menagerie of animals at her place. So in one morning I was able to go from, first started with a turtle, then to a goat, and then to a chicken. So, and this is all distance healing. This is not with, but I was in the same area as these particular animals. So, Mary, you might do this in shamanic practice as well. Sometimes we will use a surrogate
mm-hmm.
where, you know, in this case, working on the turtle, I had a stuffed turtle in front of me, but I was watching the turtle, you know, this maybe the size of a dessert plate, like a bread plate, you know, the size of the shell. So as I was moving my hands, I was able to watch the turtle in front of me. And I know when I got up to the chakras that are with the neck and the neck and the throat, all of a sudden the turtle starts blinking his eyes and opening his jaw and yawning And of course, I'm a scientist. I'm looking at data, and I'm going, "Wow, look at that! Isn't that this is pretty amazing?"
Yeah, this is a different. This is a difference. This is a change.
Yeah, this is a change because he wasn't doing that when I was working on the other chakras. But when I got to, you know, the head, the throat, and the heart, it was when he started reaching, you know, stretching his neck back and forth. It's like, okay, I wish I was videotaping this because this is what's going on. Wow, is this different? That was one experience. And then, of course, going to the goats. You know, and the turtle energy was very, very heavy. It was like, I mean, it was a good heavy. It was very solid like granite, like turtles are. Then
right.
Moving to the goat, it was still solid like a goat walking on a mountain, but there was a little bit more lightness to it. And then going from the goat to the chicken, it was like a very airy feeling of, you know, okay, what is this chicken really thinking? But a lot of it was just simply watching the chicken, you know, moving around in its pen, if you would. But as somebody pointed out to me, chickens really need to have very fine discernment because they have to figure out if it's a piece of corn or if it's a pebble that they're eating. So, but it was very fascinating in the space of 3 hours to go from, you know, sensing the different energies or vibrations between, you know, a turtle to a goat to a chicken.
Wow.
But that's the whole purpose of doing that as part of certification, in realizing that different animals and humans have different vibrations around them. And it was really fascinating.
Different frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different frequencies, absolutely.
And what about you, Elaine? What did you encounter in some of your trainings?
Well, some of mine, I worked with a rabbit that had been a foster rabbit that they had had for 2 months and was just not adapting well to the foster situation. And they thought that, and the woman who had him was a top-notch rabbit person in the Twin Cities, and she said, "Sure, come on over, work with her, and let's see what happens." Well, when I started working on the rabbit, I swear she was about 7 inches long, her body, but really solid, like a rock. She was just so scared and so nervous. And so I worked on her for about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and at the end she stretched, and she suddenly became this full-size rabbit of, you know, well over a foot long. I was like,
wow.
I couldn't believe it. And so the person picked her up and said, "Well, I'm going to an adoption session, and I'm going to take her just to expose her to the world." Now, I had set my intention that she was going to realize, the rabbit was going to realize that people were good to her and that she was to send out the energy to find her new forever home and find her perfect person. So the foster mom said, "You know, I'm just going to take her just to expose her to an adoption situation." 3 hours later, the rabbit, who wouldn't let anybody hold her before, was being held and adopted and went to a new forever home.
Oh, that's a great story. I love it.
So that was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, I was crying when I got the phone call on that one. Another one was a umbrella cockatoo who had a virus, a wasting disease, very much like AIDS is for humans. And he was having seizures. And when he had a seizure, he could no longer stand on the perch of his bird cage. He didn't want food, and it would take him 4 to 5 hours to be able to stand on one leg again. So I had made an agreement with the person to call me the next time he had a seizure. And I was like 5 minutes from home. I went home immediately, and like Carol did, I did a surrogate. Actually, I think I used a stuffed dog for the parrot because that's all I had handy. And the person told me that I called her within an hour, and she said 45 minutes into my session, Cuddles was now standing on one leg on the perch, asking for food and being affectionate, which
wow.
normally took 4 to 5 hours.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
And then one other fairly recent story what happened with me. My dog Hobbs had to have his teeth cleaned and have some cysts removed, and I had asked the vet locally if I could come after he was out of anesthesia. So they arranged it that the moment I walked in, they were just taking the intubation tube out from his throat. And I started clearing him, and in less than an hour, the vet tech who was standing there, she couldn't believe in the first 5 minutes he went from his eyes darting around the room to trying to focus on her. And then in less than an hour, she said, Hobbs, you want to try standing up? He stood up, and in a total of an hour and 15 minutes, we checked out, paid the bill, and he jumped into the back of my vehicle.
Wow,
and
that's
so
amazing.
I asked the vet, how long does this usually take? And she says, many dogs at 2 hours are still very wobbly.
Wow.
So that's how powerful it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I can jump in here on this one,
yeah.
Because, I mean, Elaine brought up some really good points about, you know, working with vets and vet techs. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who might say, this is woo-woo. You know, this is voodoo, this is whatever way they want to label this. And, you know, being a master's in engineering with a statistics background and being like a very hard scientist and saying, show me the data, show me the proof, the measurement that this actually happens. One of my experiences, this is actually through my training, was I was doing a distance healing session, but I was working with a veterinarian who's actually a veterinarian acupuncturist, rehab vet in another state, and we were working on her particular dog who was going through some healing from an injury. And this will bring in a little bit of animal communication as well, but what I was doing, and again, this is data-based decision making, and what we did is we synchronized our watches, and what I said was, as you know, I was doing a certain technique. And every time I moved my hand position, what I would do is I would write down the time of a hand position when I moved it. So I think in this one there was maybe 7 steps. So I had 7 different times when I was moving the hand position. But she was also going to, on her end, if the dog got up and moved whatever, and she would write down the time when the dog would like get up and move from his position. And again, this is all database. You know, this isn't... You know, we collaborated before this.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found, and part of what I had to do was, part of what this vet was looking for was, well, this dog really liked to play Frisbee. And because of all of her background and training, she was very concerned to see both of the rear paws down and equal with all the pads on the ground to make sure that he could, that was his signal to say he's well enough to go out and play Frisbee. And up until this point, he wasn't doing that. One paw was lifted slightly up. So I was doing a healing touch for animals. It was probably the chakra balance technique. But I was also, part of this is saying, okay, you know, dog's name, your job, you want to go out and play Frisbee. Your mom is very concerned to make sure that you are healthy to not get re-injured. So part of what you need to do is to make sure, as your job, as a Border Collie would do, that your job is to have both of your paws on the ground. That will be the signal to your mom that you are healthy. And again, this is all part of doing this through the technique.
Mm-hmm.
So after, when I finished the session, again, this is a distance session, then the veterinarian and I compared notes and said, okay, I moved my hand at this point in time. And she said, oh, yeah, the dog actually shifted and changed his position. And there were, I think, about 3 or 4 times where at the exact same time I shifted my hands, he actually moved. You know,
wow.
He changed the position or stretched or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so that was that night. And then 24 hours later, she told me that he actually put his feet down and had equal pressure on both rear legs, which was the signal for her to say, okay, now you can go out and play Frisbee.
Oh, wow.
So
that's very cool.
When you hear things like that, you know, again, as a scientist, as an analytical person, you look at that and say, okay, is this coincidence?
Mm-hmm. Probably
or,
not.
Yeah. So, you know, and I can tell story after story, as I'm sure Elaine can as well, is, you know, when I work on my clients and or their dogs, it's a little bit of, okay, this is what we do in science. This is the situation. This was the intervention. Now, you tell me, you know, is the dog different? Do you feel different? And, you know, 98% of the time, it's, yes, I see a difference in the dog. We can reflect it in the times that the dog actually runs the course.
Right, that and I would different. Imagine that you could see it in the videos, too.
You can see it in the videos, and this is a lasting, you know, this is a lasting effect, because I know I had a client who I worked on the dog in May of this year over at a world championship in Europe, and even, you know, 3 months later, she's saying, I don't know what she did, but the dog is still walking straight.
Very cool.
So, it's a little bit of this, you know, people might say this is, you might want to classify it as witchcraft or voodoo or magic or whatever. How can you do this? Is there a science base? But when you look at to say this is repeatable, it's reproducible, it can be explained from a scientific basis.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not me saying this. This is what my clients are telling me, and I'm sure Elaine has stories as well, or experience. I shouldn't say stories. We have experiences. We have documentation to say this is what happens.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know, Elaine.
Particularly with the performance animals that you work with, because, you know, I do agility shows too, but I do more animal communication readings and, you know, shamanic work and that kind of thing when I'm at the shows. But I know that a lot of those people tape their dogs. They video their dogs when they do their runs because they want to know what's going on, and when they're doing the run, they can't see it necessarily.
Right.
So they go back and they study those tapes diligently in order to figure out, okay, what happened here, what
right.
can we do better, blah, blah, blah. And so when you can see tangible results in faster times or fewer dropped bars, or, you know, that the dog doesn't need as much, as much massage work or pain medication or whatever, that's tangible results that you can actually point to.
Right, and in fact, what I do, I actually lead when I do sessions, especially when I see these dogs over multiple days of the competition. I start out with, like, Elaine went through this cycle, and she said that very well. That cycle can actually be seen on the HealingTouchForAnimals.com website, mm-hmm. and we do have a lot of literature around that cycle, if you would. I actually start out with healing touch because when it starts to get the body moving and the energy moving and the oxygen flowing, I don't have to go as deeply with traditional massage techniques because I don't necessarily have to get in there and start, you know, really vigorously rubbing on muscles, because with the energy flowing and the blood flowing, the muscles are naturally, or if I'm using essential oils or tuning forks, those different types of modalities, which are more gentle, it's not like I'm cranking on muscle tissues and I don't want to necessarily get them sore if I really have to go in deeply. So it's again that ability, and I know a lot of people have probably had massages where a massage therapist is really cranked on you to loosen muscles.
Right.
Well, I can't be doing that at a world competition,
mm-hmm.
so or a major competition. So it's different modalities of getting to, you know, a healthy, relaxed animal or human with different techniques or different tools in the toolbox. So.
I was going to jump in on that, Carol, is that when we did the 3-day advanced training, the advanced protocol training, the dogs were there for 1 day, 2 days. And so Hobbs was there, and so he had a lot of energy work done to him. He was a surrogate. He had just a lot of work done to him. The following Wednesday, I took him to get to his chiropractor, and she said, he has never been so easy to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, she says, I can't believe, she goes, you keep doing energy work on him. She says, I can't believe how easy this was.
Oh, that's
yeah.
great. So it has
yeah.
a lasting effect.
It yeah. does. It does. And I know that when I'm working frequently, when I'm at these big competitions, I actually work with a vet, a rehab vet from Canada. and we actually work together on this. It is, because she actually does energy work as well, but it's a lot of, if we work together as a team, it is, Carol, why don't you do the energy work first, and then I'll take them and adjust them, because the adjustments are actually easier. So it is really fun in working with, you know, our fellow colleagues. You know, that's why I call it like a board of directors, because for your animal, because whether we do animal communication with them, healing touch work, working with human, you know, chiropractor, or I should say human, you know, whether it be human chiropractors that have been trained in animal and certified in animal chiropractic, or, you know, veterinary chiropractors, acupuncturists, it is truly a group of people that are all working together for the health of the animal. And it is really a lot of fun in that regard, because we're looking at the animal from our different trainings, and we also learn as well. So it's a
right.
pretty neat field to be in. And then when we all work together to see these successes, whether it be, you know, the great stories that Elaine has had about, you know, whether it be the companion animal owner that gets really excited for, you know, their animal, or we see, you know, world championships happen because of, you know, the work that's been done. It's all the exciting thing of, wow, this techniques actually work, and they're long-lasting, and they're gentle with the greatest intent of, again, a healthy being.
So do you find that when you do a session with an animal and you're doing healing touch, do you recommend that the animal come back at a certain time, or do you leave that up to the person to know when the animal needs more help, or how do you do more prolonged care, I guess is what I'm saying.
I'll step in on that one. It depends case by case. For example, if I am working with a senior dog who's having a mobility issue, I've worked with several large dogs, labs, you know, 13 years old, have struggling to stand up. I'll do a healing touch session, and in the middle of the session, they get up and walk away, go outside. We bring them back in after they go to the bathroom, keep working on them, and one of them walked down the front steps, which it hadn't done in 6 months. In that case, I will say to the people, keep an eye on the dog, but I think definitely within 3 to 4 weeks, we should do another session. In cases like that, I've had cases where I've worked with animals who have cancer, and that, again, you know, I'll say a couple of weeks, or you tell me what you're seeing with the animal. And in one case of a dog that has just passed away from tongue cancer, they saw the vet back in March, and the vet was astonished that the dog was still around in March, and she made it up to last week.
Wow.
Before she transitioned. So it's case by case, and competition, it would be slightly different story, wouldn't it, Carol? Because it's from there, it's day to day, isn't it?
Well, it's day to day, and but it's a lot of really, it's day to day, it could be run to run. If there's multiple runs during the day. It's a little bit of, I've got my hands on these dogs a lot, over the space of, you know, morning, noon, and night, basically. But what I do find is I might transition from doing, you know, healing touch, because the chakras are open and balancing, to maybe doing more massage. But also part of it, too, is I'm watching the energetic balance, because over, like, 4 days of competition, the animals get tired, the humans get tired, and I've got to make sure that there's enough energy supporting both of them so that they can sustain these long days of competition. So it's almost like, you know, it's almost like tuning a race car, like an Indy 500 race car or these NASCARs, is that those cars, those dogs, and those humans have to be in top prime condition, and they're constantly being checked to make sure each and every run. I mean, in dog agility, they're winning world championships by, you know, 0.09 hundredths of a second. So every single thing that they can get out of the dog and the human has got to be there. It's a pretty high pressure situation, but it is about, this is all part of, you know, a finely tuned system. So, yeah, even in competition, though, I know some of the people who I worked on last weekend in Europe actually went to the Canadian Nationals in Edmonton this past weekend, and I know, you know, some of my clients won the Canadian Nationals or they played second in the Canadian Nationals, and, you know, a lot of that, like Elaine has talked about how it carries through. Part of this, it does, we do see the carryover.
Oh, that's very cool because it's not just like you have the one session and then, you know, like a few hours later you're back in the same position where you started.
No, and right. I can give you two stories. One is a neighbor's dog, and I knew something was wrong when the neighbor came up to the front door crying, and she said Harvey, their doodle, was dying. And I said, let me talk to him, did a quick communications. He said he wasn't ready to go. I said, okay, let's go do a healing touch session. So I went down to their house. He had been to the emergency room the night before. He hadn't moved, and they gave him some antibiotics. So I will say he was on antibiotics, but he hadn't moved in 17 hours at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went there, and I started, first of all, he heard my voice when I came in the door. He lifted his head, and they were crying because it's the first time he moved. And I did the energy work on him, and he was a 10-year-old dog, I think, at that time, a full-size doodle. And we carried him outside. It was in October because he loved the sunshine, and we laid him in the sunshine. And he stood up. And so I left, and, you know, they took care of him. Well, a day or two later, my husband comes in the house, and he said, there's a brand-new Harvey walking down the street. Here this doodle is walking down the street, swishing his tail just like life was normal.
Wow.
This October, it will be 2 years.
Oh, my God, that's great.
And he had one or two setbacks. We did healing touch. You know, he had an upset stomach. I did some healing touch, and he's been fine since then. I mean, it's
wow.
Just, you know, that's one of my favorite stories. Another case was a cat in Arizona who is part of a family with seven other cats. And there were some feral cats outside that he was really upset about.
Mm-hmm.
And through a communications, he told me that they were upset. He was upset because they were feeding them, and he didn't care that one of the cats was his father or grandfather. So they stopped feeding the cats, but he was spraying all over the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him why, and he said it was because of the cats. So then I did a healing touch technique with behavior modification, and I told him that this behavior absolutely had to stop. And his new job was to take his liquid gold or urine and take it to the kitty litter box and show everybody in the house how wonderful he was. Again, it'll be 2 years and he has not sprayed.
Wow, that's fabulous, because that is a really tough issue to try and solve many times.
Well, and I had told them beforehand, you know, get the black light out, clean up
mm-hmm.
everything. You know, we have to have the house as clean as possible to support him.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's just been great since then.
Well, that is fabulous. You know, you've really addressed a lot of the issues that I had questions about. You know, like, does this work better in certain issues than others? Are there times when healing touch is not appropriate, when you would not use it? Can you think of any times like that?
I can't. And a matter of fact, because we're always doing it for the highest good of the animal, I have been present in, I'm doing a lot of end of life and helping the people make the decision that they want to euthanize, but they don't know if it's the right time. Is it too soon,
mm-hmm.
too late? So between animal communications, we figured the answer out from the animal's point of view. And then I have been present during the end-of-life process. And I do healing touch. We have a protocol specifically for that where you do the energy work, you involve the family, have everybody tell a story as you're spreading the heart chakra energy throughout. And
mm-hmm.
then also do a technique while they're actually getting the second shot. And I have, everyone that I have seen, the animals have gone so easily. Their energy systems were wide open. It just seemed that they were halfway across before they got the second shot.
Wow, that's amazing. Because you hear some real horror stories about end-of-life issues sometimes.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's always such a tough position for people to be in because they want to do the right thing for their animal. They don't know if it's the right time. They don't know if they're doing the right thing. They don't know what the animal wants. They don't know how to help them. You know, it's just fraught with all of this emotional stuff that, and then if they do something, then they feel remorse and guilt afterwards, and yeah, so there's just so many unknowns there. So anything that can help that particular process is very, very valuable.
Yes, and that's where in my case, I was trained in healing touch, and of course, I actually did my canine sports massage first here in the Twin Cities area. And then I, you know, it was adjunct with, you know, my healing touch for animals. Again, putting more tools in the toolbox. So in my case, I actually, my three-time national agility champion, breed champion, Kaysan, at just shy of 17, it was her time to be, you know, to end the life issue. So I was thankful that I was able to do healing touch on her to help her, you know, through the passage of life. And it's very, as Elaine pointed out, that what healing touch does, this is for the highest good. We trust that whatever energy is going on, that it will go for the highest good, and it will go to the places where the animals or the humans need that. And, you know, we don't have to control that. We just trust that that's where it will go. So it's very powerful in that regard. So to answer your question, Mary, I can't really think of anything where something that is as gentle, respectful, and trustworthy as healing touch would not be indicated.
Mm-hmm.
What I can say about another, you know, about another modality, which is massage, it
mm-hmm.
is very clear that what I've learned is massage is not indicated in things like cancer. Massage
mm-hmm.
is not indicated in other things and, you know, in other types of diseases. So we're massage, and a lot of people say, well, you know, you may have this disease, you should get a massage. That may not necessarily be the case. So that's where, you know, energetic modalities such as healing touch or acupuncture can be used because it's much more gentle, but we're also saying, please go to the highest good.
So if someone wanted to get started in learning how to do this, for, you know, first of all, can anybody do this? And how do you get started? I mean, where do you go to get training in this? And what does the training actually involve? I mean, how extensive is this?
Well, you can go to the website, healingtouchforanimals.com. And the website is the... goes through the program of for healing touch for animals.
Mm-hmm.
The classes are taught many places in the United States. They're also taught in Holland, I believe Germany now, and I feel as if I'm missing another European country where this course is being taught. And anybody can take it, and you learn how to work with the energy. You're introduced the very first night, you're introduced of getting the feel of energy. For example, some people I know can see the energy. I don't, but I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different things like that. So, yes, everybody can learn it. Especially the first level or two is wonderful to have. I would say it has saved me some money on vet bills just, for example, like Hobbs getting injured and knowing that I could help him energetically to help him with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I would start.
This is one of those modalities that you can actually do on your own animal. You know,
yes.
Sometimes animal communication is a little more difficult with your own animals because you're so emotionally involved with them. But this is something that you can actually do to help your own animals.
And not only can you do it to help your own animal, which is why a lot of people take it, like I said, a lot of basic techniques that we learn in the first level you can use on your own animal. You can actually use on it on yourself. You know, for example, last week, one of the women that was over there at the competition slammed her finger in a door at the competition site. So what I taught her was how to do the ultrasound technique and the, you know, like you're going in, you're scrubbing away the pain and then brushing the pain away. I also added a couple of essential oils that were good for pain relief and stress relief in that area. And I said, well, this is what you need to do. Just keep on doing it. And, you know, she's an attorney. She's actually an attorney in Canada. She was raised in Germany and is now an attorney in Canada. And she's like, oh, my God, you know, after I did this for, you know, I didn't give her any pain medication or anything, and she told me she didn't take any pain medication. And when she said, oh, my God, after, you know, 4 hours of doing this, this doesn't hurt anymore. It's not swollen.
Wow, that's great.
So it's techniques that, you know, even though you learn it in a Healing Touch for Animals class, you can always do those same techniques on yourself
mm-hmm.
or other people.
So the place to go for more information then is the website Healing Touch for Animals, correct?
Yes,
correct.
It's www.healingtouchforanimals.com.
Okay. Excellent. Well, we're getting to the end of our hour here, so what I'd like to do is let people know about how they can get in touch with you guys. And so if they do have something that they would like to contact you to help them with, they can get in touch with you. So Elaine, would you like to start? How can people get a hold of you? And and do you have anything coming up that you would like to promote?
Well, I would say, the best way to get a hold of me is go to my website, animalbridges.com. And there I go through the Healing Touch, the different techniques, the different modalities I use. You can also email me at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at animalbridges.com. Or you can call me. Remember, I'm on Central Time. 612-237-9580, and I will answer your questions. I do give a free 10-15 minute free consult over the phone to help you figure out what you can possibly do to help with your pet. Coming up, let's see, for people in Minnesota, Wayzata, the first Saturday in September, I'm going to be at sponsoring the Dachshund races out at Wayzata, James J. Hills Day. So I have that coming. And I think that's the biggest thing coming up right now.
Okay, and how about you, Carol?
Thank you, Mary, for that opportunity. In terms of what I do, I do Healing Touch and working with animals actually as a hobby. And working with performance animals because I do have a regular day job. I haven't been, as Mary and Elaine have escaped the corporate world, I am actually still in the corporate world, but I do balance this out. So how people can best get a hold of me, there's a couple of ways. Number one, they're more than welcome to, because I deal more with the performance side, Elaine has my contact information, so you can use the information that Elaine just gave you. Mary, I know you have my contact information. They can contact you. The other thing, too, is my information is also out on the Healing Touch for Animals website, healingtouchforanimals.com, and if they look up Minnesota, they can find my contact information. What I also thought of, too, is that if people are on Facebook and with my name, Carol Kramer Smorch, they can look me up on Facebook and send me a private message.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you to both so much for being with me tonight and with our audience and letting us know about this really fabulous modality that I simply didn't know enough about. You have me so intrigued on this that I just may go and sit and take the classes myself because I just think this sounds awesome. So I'm going to wrap it up for this evening. Again, my name is Mary Stoffel, and I am a professional animal communicator and shamanic practitioner. My website is www.humanimal.com. That's spelled H-U-M-A-N-I-M-A-L, humanimal.com. And I do have some classes coming up. I teach shamanic practice. I have a year-long shamanic practice training program that is starting. The first one is starting August 31st this year, and that meets once a month on a Saturday. And if you go through the whole program or the whole year with that and take the five-day soul retrieval class, which I also teach, you are completely qualified to set up your own shamanic practice with that information. So again, my number, my phone number is 763-444-8146. That's 763-444-8146. And my email is mlstoffel, S-T-O-F-F-E-L, at innovateor.com. And that's innovateor.com. And you can also find that all on my website. So again, I'd like to thank you both for being with us, and I am looking forward to hearing more about this. And like I said, I think I might just go and check this out myself. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary, for the opportunity for sharing. I know which is a passion for both Elaine and I, and work in using this wonderful modality.
Thank you, Mary.
So welcome. Thank you so much. You have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Yep. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.